Anybody still need the solicitor?
Boker Tov, thank you, Rabbi Brand. Speaking in Chicago for me is always very special, as my parents made Aliyah from Chicago in 1970. So I'm the result of the Bnei Akiva education here in Chicago. Just a couple of hours from now, in Israel, there's going to be a tzfira starting Yom HaZikaron. Up to a year and a half ago, Memorial Day in Israel to me was something very different. About a year and a half ago, my nephew on the border with Egypt was seriously injured. His best friend from the unit, Netanel Yalomi, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed. And Baruch Hashem, within a couple of weeks, my nephew totally recovered. But the bonding with the Yahalomi family, who lost their child, totally transformed our entire family. And what we learned from those moments of the call until today, that relationship with the Yahalomi family is that on Yom HaZikaron, we're not really thinking about the people who lost their lives. We need to think about the hundreds of thousands of families that are living their lives under such a tremendous impact. And from that day on, only a year and a half ago, that's all what we focus on, in our family at least, is the thought of the people living who are remaining with that grief, and how much we need to feel part. And Arevut Hadadit is on that level where we are actually, we should feel what those parents are feeling. And that's our commitment. So speaking now, just as Yom HaZikaron is about to start in Israel, our words of Torah should be, first of all, in their memory, but more, hopefully, as chizuk to the families that could continue their lives. The topic I want to discuss today is something related to Yom HaTzmaut on a different angle. One of the things that bothers me for years is that gap between the people I'm talking about within the religious community of the Jewish population, the gap between the people who celebrated an extent of a day of redemption, day of Hoda'ah, to people who totally don't think that this is anything significant on a religious level. And one of the challenges are, how much can we or should we, or how much could we look at current events and try to connect it to prophecy and try to understand where we're holding? Just tell you, every time I'm at a wedding in Yerushalayim, and I hear them singing, Odi Shema Bere Yehuda, I stop myself every time, whoever's around me, Nebuch, whoever knows me already, sometimes heard it already 10 times at weddings. I said, what is this pasuk that we're singing? The prophet is standing and seeing Yerushalayim destroyed. He's seeing Yerushalayim nothing. Nothing's there. And he says a day is going to come, and no one believes him almost. A day is going to come that there's going to be weddings in Yerushalayim. There isn't a moment without a wedding in Yerushalayim. So are we living those days or not? Am I allowed? How am I responding to that? Let's start with the Rambam. Because the Rambam, I believe, was a little bit challenged, and maybe as a result of that, in Source 5. The Rambam in Hilchot Melachim wants to describe what's going to be in the days of Mashiach. Have it in Source 5. Says the Rambam in Perek Yudalev, Halacha Gimel, Ve'al Ya'alel Da'atcha, don't even think for a moment, She'amelech HaMashiach Tzarich La'asot Otot U'moftim U'mechadesh Dvarim Ba'olam. Don't think that what's Mashiach going to do? Mashiach is basically going to change the world, renew, Mechayem Etim, Karetzeh B'dvarim Ha'ele. Says the Rambam, don't assume that it's this Superman that shows up and suddenly picks up trucks and throws them. And I'm just using an example. I remember when a little kid, and I asked him about Mashiach, that's what he told me. He says, like, yeah, he described this. Then I realized he's describing a Spider-Man movie or something like that. Says the Rambam, that's not Mashiach. En adavar kach. What's his proof? Sha'arei Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol michachmei mishnaya. V'hu haya nosek kelav shel ben kuziva ha'melech. Rabbi Akiva went to Bar Kochva, who was a heroic soldier. That's what he was, chief of staff. And he started carrying his kelim. Not so clear where the Rambam took the source, but at least the Rambam says Rabbi Akiva believed that potentially this Bar Kochva, who was a general, is maybe Mashiach. V'haya omer alav shu ha'melech ha'mashiach. V'dimahu v'kol chachmei doro shehu ha'melech ha'mashiach. Ad till sh'ne'erag ba'avonot. The minute he died, not him. Kivan sh'ne'erag noda lahem she'eino. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva knew to realize when it's over, it's over. V'lo sh'alu mimeno chachamim lo'ot v'lo mofet. Says the Rambam, what's my proof? Rabbi Akiva never went to Bar Kochva and said, show me a miracle. Like we had with Moshe when he came to prove to Am Yisrael that he is, there's a reason to believe that you need a raya. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are they going to believe me? And he thought, gave him two signs. Put your hand in, do something. Magic. Rabbi Akiva didn't request that from Bar Kochva, says the Rambam. So even though in Moshe Rabbeinu we saw that some, here no. And therefore ends the Rambam, ועיקר הדברים ככה הם, שהתורה הזאת חוקיה ומשפטיה בעולם ולעולמי עולמים, אין מוסיפין עליהם ולא גורין מהם, etc. and etc. And he ends, הרי זה בוודאי רשע ואפיקורס. Why is that? What's the connection? Well, suddenly the Rambam is going into, don't change anything in the Torah, and if you do, you're Apikoros. Well, what is that? Obviously the Rambam is a little bit concerned. You're dealing with Mashiach. You're dealing with issues that could be very challenging for us as people. Are we going to follow, not follow? How are we going to look at it? It could create, says the Rambam, in the end of the day, careful, no laws of Torah should be broken or changed. But then goes the Rambam, in Igeret Teman, in Source 6, where he's responding to supposedly, there was a whole argument, debate, about the Rambam, what he actually meant. And he was pretty upset about it. You know, today the Rambam's not alive, so thank God the Briskers had a way to build a way in learning. If he was alive, he would have said, this is what I meant. But then he was still alive when people were debating what the Rambam meant. And he writes, he says, וכבר סיפקו גם כן אנשים בדברנו בסוף החיבור במקום שאמרנו דבר זה לשונו, says the Rambam, there are people who are debating what I meant in the following statement. To me, it's always fascinating. This, I don't think there's too many of those where the Rambam says, I wrote this, and this is what I meant. And don't give me tzvei dinim about it. This is what I meant. Okay? וזה לשונו. אל יעלה על דעתך שמלך המשיח צריך לעשות אותות ומופתים ומחדש דברים בעולם או יחיה מתים וכיוצא בדברים. What we just read, this halakha in Hilchot Melachim that the Rambam wrote, says the Rambam, people misunderstood or debated what I really meant. Because he wrote here the words, Tchiyat HaMetim. So what do people think? וחשבו קצת חלושי האיום, people who didn't understand, didn't look deeper into what I really meant, שזאת הכחשה לתחיית המתים. That I was denying, that I said that תחיית המתים is not something that's going to happen, when we all know it's one of the עיקרי האמונה. If someone doesn't believe in תחיית המתים, he's considered an apikoros. Because the Rambam wrote in a statement that Melech HaMashiach doesn't need to be the one who actually brings Tchiyat HaMetim. And why is the Rambam saying that? Because otherwise people will sit and wait for redemption forever. The Rambam says it's not connected to the redemption. It's something else that's going to happen. So people assume the Rambam denied Tchiyat HaMetim. והוא סותר מה שבארנו בפירוש המשנה וכולי וכולי. And therefore the Rambam is very frustrated and he ends. Sof davar, skipping to the bowl. After the Rambam's frustrated that people are misquoting him when it's so obvious what the Rambam meant. Happens all the time in learning. Remember with Rabbi Brandon, Karen Bayavne, right? It's clear what the Rambam's saying, but let's try to stuck in something else to the Rambam. So Rambam, it's clear what I meant. The Rambam ends and says the follows. Sof davar, כל אלה הם דברים שאינם פינות התורה. The topic of Mashiach, redemption, תחיית המתים, they're not the real meat of Torah. ואין להקפיד איך יאמינו בהם. We don't know exactly what's going to be. We can't go into too many details. וצריך שימתין האדם לגוף האמונה באלו הדברים עד אשר יראו במהרה בימינו. Person needs to wait, patience. Till it doesn't happen, we don't know. ואז יתבאר אם ממשל או מופת, וכבר נודע שאנחנו נברח מאוד משינוי סדר בראשית. The Rambam has his whole shita that he really thinks the world is going to stay the same way. In other words, the Rambam ends, because of his frustration of people misinterpreting what he meant, he suddenly says, look, on these issues, on these topics, let's wait and see what's going to happen. Don't discuss it like you discuss a real Chashan Mishpat. I think people, as a result of this ending of the Rambam, where the Rambam didn't mean to, he did it because of an incident that happened, so suddenly it became a whole issue that on these things we don't discuss. We don't need to too much try to dig deep what it means. What does it mean when we see weddings in Yerushalayim? Is it Adi Shema Bera Yudah? Is it not? No, don't touch that. We don't know. This, I think, wasn't the Kavanah of the Rambam. The Rambam says that as a result of a misunderstanding. So what? Yes. And I would like to present today one of the Shitot of the Rishonim on how to relate to this issue. How much could we or should we try to understand current events in the eyes of redemption, in the eyes of what Chazal really meant? And I want to use for that a very famous story that we have in Source 1. I'm sure you're familiar with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech had a beautiful, I'm being sarcastic, a beautiful method of how to educate our children. He took a sword, and what did he say? Anybody who doesn't learn Torah, he stuck his sword in the Bet Midrash, said anybody who doesn't learn Torah will be stabbed in this sword. What an educator. What's the end result of that shita? What would we think? Everybody rebelled. Says the Gemara, there wasn't a baby me'achermon until Be'er Sheva that didn't know Hilchot Tumah V'Tahara. Leave Shabbos kashrut. A kid. Kids knew the most complicated halachot. Okay, he was a king, it was a different times. I'm not, God forbid, I'm not suggesting that that's our method of education. Not at all. But you could learn that sometimes to make a stand on an issue is not bad. Not that way, but it worked. So that's Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was an unbelievable king in terms of bringing back Torah to the world. And he got very sick. Describes the Gemara, the meeting between Chizkiyahu HaMelech. בימים ההם חלך חזקיהו המלך למות ויבוא אליו ישעיהו בן אמוץ הנביא. This story, by the way, is described both in Melachim, where Chizkiyahu, and both in Yeshayahu, in a shorter version, where Yeshayahu is coming to meet Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So Chizkiyahu is really dying. He's very sick. ויבוא אליו ישעיהו בן אמוץ הנביא ויאמר אליו, כה אמר השם, צב לביתך, כי מת אתה, ולא תחיה. The prophet comes and tells him, it's over, man. It's over. So the Gemara picks up here on a double language that the prophet is using. כי מת אתה, ולא תחיה. If you're going to die, obviously you're not going to live. Why is it? It's repetitive. If you died, what is Lotichye? Says the Gemara, Maiki metata velotichye. What does it mean? It's double language. Metata ba'olam hazeh. Velotichye la'olam haba. Can you imagine? Chizkiyahu, that as a result of him, Torah was on the highest level that could. Not only that he's going to lose his throne in early stage in life, and soon I'll prove to, meaning it's obvious that it's an early stage, soon you'll see why, but also Olam Haba. He was a righteous king. It's very harsh. Amar le maiku lehai. Okay, I deserve a punishment. He was a tzaddik, Chizkiyahu, but such a punishment? Such an extreme? Amar le משום דלא עסקת בפירייה ורבייה. Didn't get married. Didn't have kids. אמר לי, חזקיהו said, there's a reason why I didn't get married. It wasn't a shidduchim crisis. He could have married anybody he wanted. That wasn't the issue. It was intentionally. I didn't date. Why? משום דחזאי לי ברוח הקודש. חזקיהו had רוח הקודש. He could see who's going to be the generations after him. I'm going to have children that are not going to follow the derech. I didn't want to have those rishayim. So I said, I'm not going to get married, and therefore, I'm not going to have kids that are going to become evil. This is such a fundamental philosophical discussion. About anything. Rabbi Brand just mentioned, you're going to have a Yom Yun on medical ethics. This is, they should use the source and conversation. How much can we get involved in what God is? He's saying, I saw what's going to happen. Look at the answer. Amar lei, Behadei kavshei derachmana lamalach. What are you getting involved in these words? Behadei kavshei derachmana lamalach. This claim of the prophet to Chizkiyahu, that's what we're going to try to understand in the next couple of minutes. He's telling him, it seems in translation, what are you getting involved in God's plans? Mai demifkadat ibailach lemeivad. You do your job. You got to do your job. Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to do with you, with your job, whatever God wants to do. In other words, don't play God here. The pshat, that's what it seems to be, that the prophet is telling him, don't play God's job. You got to get married, you got to have kids, you got to That's what you got to do. God will decide how to take those actions. What does it mean? What is the philosophical debate here? I'm going to show you three different approaches. One Hasidic, one a little more, if we could call it, it's not really Litvak, but it's more the Maharal's approach, Kli Yakar, who was a Talmud. And then I'll show something from the Rishonim that I think is fabulous. Let's start with the Kli Yakar. In source 2, the Kli Yakar, by the way, in the box here, you have a little bit of his biography. Get his years, where he lived. Buried near the Maharal in Prague. The Kli Yakar uses this to deal with the challenge that he had in his generation. People were getting frustrated from their harsh times in exile. And he had to give them chizuk. And he says the following. Yakar ata ini ki od chazon lamoed asher diber Hashem lerachem aniyei amo hanefutzim bechol ktzavei eretz veyam. He says, it's already a long time we're begalut. This is, right? 1540. They're already a long time begalut. This is 500 years ago. וימים רבים לישראל בקור התלאות המצרף ומסגג כבור סיגנו. We're already in exile so many years, 1500 years we're in exile. And it's hard, and it's tough. ואם כפי מיעוט השגותינו, אין איתנו יודע עד מה קץ התלאות והפלאות. We don't know when it's going to end. He's coming to give chizuk to his community, who are suffering, going through very harsh exile. He says, I don't know how long it's going to take. El Hashem hu yodea ki letova chashava Elokim. But if God is putting us in exile, it's probably for a good reason. Behadei kavshei derachmana lamali. Why are you getting involved? What are you trying to understand things in God that it's not yours? Hallo yakim Hashem dvaro tov asher diber al beit Yisrael b'agiyato hakatzuv. When the time comes, there's going to be a time of redemption. When that time comes, it's going to happen, says the Kli Yakar to his community. O beitiv Yisrael drachav. There's two ways we're going to have redemption. Either when the due date comes, or when we deserve it. But it's going to come. So he says, what are you... I know it's hard, but... כי יראו עוזלת יד והצרות מתגברות, מי הגבר אשר לא יראה ואיזו הנפש אשר לא תאונה, ישוב אל ליבו לשוב אל השם בכל לב. Now the word says the Kli Yakar, בהדיקה שדרחמנה is a statement saying that God has his reasons, we don't understand them, we need to just keep holding on strong, do tshuva, you have a way to get it. In other words, בהדיקה שדרחמנה and the Kli Yakar's thoughts is certain things we don't know, we just need to continue. That was his taking from this statement that was told to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Reb Tzadok HaKohen Lublin, in the classic Hasidic way, takes it one step further. In the Hasidic world in general, even something that in your eyes looks bad is actually good. What you think is bad is actually good. It's very hard to live that way, but I guess it's very rewarding to think in such, to have such glasses. Also, what looks bad is actually good, and that's Reb Tzadok's approach over here in source 3. He says, "B'chizkiya de'ne'enash al de'lo nasiv." Even though he saw, why didn't he get married? And why was he punished? Because he saw he's going to have children that are going to be evil. The Behade Kavshe de Rachmana. Why? Ki mikol makom yesh ba shoresh tov. De alken mimeno shol shelet ha-Mashiach. Says Reb Tzadok, Chizkiyahu, you stopped, you had Ruach HaKodesh, but your Ruach HaKodesh stopped one generation, a few generations actually, before the end of those kids that you weren't appreciative of. Because from those kids, Mashiach came later on. So says Reb Tzadok, V'adikashe d'Rachman Alameli, means that we don't get God in such a way, things that look bad to us, God has a way that in the end it turns out to be something good. You just stopped a few generations too early. So why should we get involved in God's ways? So the Kli Yakar said is because we don't know and therefore stay away. Reb Tzadok says, no, it's not just that you don't know, because what you think is bad is actually good. So then what? And then I found, I must admit that this was to me a tremendous chiddush, which I think is fascinating. It's one of the Rishonim, less known. He's known, whoever learned Sanhedrin like in yeshiva, so he knows the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim. But he has also letters. And this Ramah in source 4 gives us, and I want to learn him for a few minutes, gives us a very fundamental understanding how to deal with this question we're asking today. What should be our approach to stories in the Gemara? Redemption. Look what he says. Ve'ech ya'ale alev ish asher natan Hashem yitbarach chokhma belibo. First he starts with like a criticism. Starts and he says, how could someone who's intelligent take divrei agada kepshatan v'apsukim ketzuratan? The Ramah over here bothers him that people take a pasuk, and it can't be the pasuk that I just said before, Odishama v'hara Yehuda. I'm honest. He says, how do you take a simple, you take a pasuk and you just assume that's what it is? Even if it sounds yubshat. And he gives an example. Look what he uses. V'inamu aboteinu. I find it actually entertaining, especially if you see the way I look. V'inamu aboteinu. Ha'olam haba. What's going to be b'olam haba? Ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia. All these Romanian fans. It's not coming with you. Wait. Continue. V'akom acher amru. Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasot tzuda l'tzadikim milivyatan l'olam haba. Right? Two sources. One says, Olam Haba, Gemara in Brachot, no food. Then there's a Gemara in Barabata, there's going to be a whole feast from a whale. Is that fish or meat? V'Antoninus sha'al Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Antoninus asked Rebbe, Im ya'achileu milivyatan la'olam haba? He asked, tell me, are you going to be part of the feast? Ve'ishiv lohem. Ve'amar lo Antoninus. Hine migdi ha'pesa. Meaning, are you going to feed me? Antoninus ha'rasha. Are you going to give me a little bit from that? It's going to be olam haba. You're going to sit at this big meal. Are you going to ask me, this guy Russia, to join you for this feast? So he tells him, absolutely, why not? You know, he knew his politics. Sure, why not? Till we come to Olam Haba, we'll deal with it if I can't give you. V'yishivlo, v'amalo Antoninus. Yeah? You're really going to let me eat from that sudat livyatan, from that whale? Hine migdi ha-pesach. This little lamb. Iyata yachol la'achileini kazayit b'olam hazeh, ve'echta achileini milivyatan olam haba. Told him, you can't even in Korban Pesach, right? You're not allowed to feed a non-Jew. So he said, so you're telling me you're going to feed me from that Leviathan? That's one conversation. V'adam ruchachamim. Atidei tzadikei de'achlei b'ptor adar baragle la'amadati. They're going to have this huge meal. ועוד אמרו חכמים, עתיד הקדוש ברוך הוא להוציא נחל מבית קודש הקודשים, ועליו כל מיני מגדים. In other words, says the Ramad, we have so many conflicting sources on what's going to be ba'olam haba. So what? So if you're like, oh, I need exactly to understand what each one means, you're going to go crazy. So what's going to happen afterwards? Says the Ramah. Mikol eila hadvarim nira ledat rabotenu sha'olam haba yesh bo achila v'shtiyah. Nu, so it's contradicting. Ve'omnam, answers the Ramah. I have it here in the bowl. Im ruach ha-moshel ta'aleh alecha v'shamarta pitchei picha. Meaning it has to be. And I tried to look a little bit if there's any research on what is he responding to, because he's also saying you got to shut up. Like, don't talk. I guess something happened. There was something in his that he's responding to because he's speaking so harshly. Like, if you have brains, you're not going to talk. You're not something. Lo ichbarta milecha velo etarta dvarecha. Why are you writing so much? Why are you speaking so much? Lo igdalta picha ledaber milipcha dvarim she'en lecha behem kabbala mipi rabcha. Says the Rama, you know what's the rule to deal with such issues? You need to get masorah from a Rebbe. It needs to come through an Adam Gadol that has a masorah how to understand this. Kol sheken midvarim sheafilu hakadmonim, hachachamim vehagaonim lo yardu letachlit amitat ha'atidot. Says, even giants didn't really go deep into this issue, understanding them. Why? Ki hem sodot ve'inam mefurashot b'chol atzor b'sifrei nevuot. There isn't enough material to really understand it. L'data emet, kama yemei shnei yemot ha-mashiach, kama yeh ben yemot ha-mashiach tchat ha-meitim. How many years? When will Mashiach potentially come? How would it look? What would olam haba be? Ma yasu ha-chaim b'ntayim, etc. and etc. And therefore ends the Rama. What's the rule on these issues, says the Rama? Fascinating. Haita tehila lecha domia. You, be quiet. Don't engage in this. But, ad, don't ignore. Don't sit on the side and say, I don't want to know anything. No, ad. Doshecha vechokrecha sitre advarim. Ask, try to find out from who? מפי זקן ורב משכיל דורשת אלוקים. He gives a category. זקן, כפשוטו, not a young guy, someone who's already much older, רב משכיל דורשת אלוקים. That's a category. כי האמנם יש בהם סודות נפלאים, אבל הם נגלים לברי לבב משכילים. People that have the perspective of Torah, giants of Torah, who also have the ability of Kabbalah, says it clearly, Divrei Sod. That's who we could ask on these matters. To me, this Ramah is very clear. Understanding redemption, there's two approaches to how to understand redemption, but one unique approach is Rav Kook's approach. Rav Kook was asked in one of his letters, you have all these visions of how exactly redemption needs to look. How a government and a state and an army and everything needs to be religious and how, where are you picking up all these things? What's your source? And he answers in the letter, I promise you that anything I wrote is based on Kabbalah and Ma'amarei Chazal. And then he writes, if you find one thing I wrote that you think that has no basis either in Kabbalah or Ma'amarei Chazal, I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong. In other words, when Rav Kook came and wrote his approach to how to look at the state of Israel, how to look at what redemption is all about, how to deal with the world we're living in these days that we're part of, he had that giant of Torah. Zaken Rav Maskil Doreshet Elokim. That's the approach we're taking. I'm not making it up on my own. I have no schut. I'm a schnuck. We're following a certain derech and understanding what exactly that is. That's not according to the Ramah behadi kafshe de rachmana. That's not getting involved. Getting involved behadi kafshe de rachmana is when you do it on your own. You wake up in the morning, you have a mishigas, you saw a pasuk, you liked it, you stick it, you start creating an ideology. That's wrong. It says the Ramah, if you have someone who's zaken, someone who has the entire vision of Torah, and he has a derech, and there could be debates with him and argues with him, it's fine. But if you're going in his derech, you're going in a derech. That's the Ramah, that's not Ba'adei Kafshe. And I want to take this, as we say, Ovel Asiyatan, Lemaisa. What does that mean? And for that I want to use someone who wasn't at all Chashud on Zionism. And I want to use an halachic, small halachic piece in Source 7. The Gemara has a question, Masechet Shabbat, on lighting candles of Hanukkah. Hanukkah and Purim are two holidays that were decreed by the rabbinic world, were established by the rabbinic world, and now you're coming to make a bracha. When you light those candles, you say, "Asher kiddushan v'yitzotav etzivanu ladlik nashu Chanukah." Ask the Gemara, "May mevarech? What bracha do you make?" Says the Gemara, "I don't understand. Mevarech asher kiddushanu v'yitzotav etzivanu ladlik nashu Chanukah." Says the Gemara, "V'chan tzivanu?" If it's something that's in the Torah, okay. But if it's not in the Torah, how can you say v'tzivanu? I'll never forget, I was a kid. I was in high school once, and I remember standing in a traffic light in Bnei Brak. And it was, the light was red, and cars were zooming, and you couldn't cross. Meaning, after now already almost 10 years in New York City, I do that all the time. But I'm saying then I was a naive 15-year-old, I don't know. And the guy next to me just saw passed. So the one who stayed in back smiled and laughed. And said, yeah, it doesn't send a Mishnah Berurah that you'd only cross in the green light. In other words, if it's not written, so maybe it's not, you don't need to do it. Hechan tzivanu. Look at the answer. Two answers, the Gemara gives. One answer, Rav Avia Amar, Milot Asu. That is a tremendous halachic topic on its own. We're not going to go deeply, but in a minute I'll just mention it. There's a whole argument, and I'm sure almost everybody heard this once, and because it's a very, very lovable topic by rabbis to teach, because it has a lot of content to it. And that is the question of what is the rabbinic authority, what is the basis of the rabbinic authority for all their decrees, all the derabbanans that we have. It seems to be that the Rambam is saying that anything in deraita, anything in derabanan almost becomes a deraita, because the Torah gives us one pasuk, says, "Lo tasu mikol asher yamul lechayim minu smol, kol adavar asher yamul lechayim minu smol." In other words, you're not allowed to move from whatever they tell you. In other words, tremendous authority was given to the rabbis. The Ramban goes crazy, says, "How could that be? You're turning every derabanan to deraita." And we know there's differences. For example, Safek derabanan, lekula. So if every derabanan becomes a deraita, so how does it work? Anyway, that's not our topic. But lot asur is one of the bases, and Ramban has his own approach to that. So he comes and he says, lot asur. There's a rabbinic authority. The Rambam uses, by the way, this Gemara also as one of his proofs. And he says, therefore we could say the tzivanu. What was the tzivanu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to listen to the rabbis. So if they said to light candles on Chanukah, the tzivanu. The second answer is a different pasuk. Rav Nechemya amar, Shal avicha ve'agetcha skenecha ve'yomru lach. The older I'm getting, the more I love this pasuk. I'm shifting generations. I heard once from a Rebbe that in the name of Rav Huttner used to say, how do we know that learning history is a deraisa? Shal avicha ve'agetcha skenecha ve'yomru lach. Must learn history. What is this answer? Shal avicha ve'agetcha skenecha ve'yomru lach. What is the pshat? How is that giving us mitzivanu? Where is the rabbinic authority in shal avicha ve'agetcha? It's because, as Rashi indicates over here, the source is because we're trying to understand redemption. We're trying to understand something happened. Shal avicha ve'agetcha skenecha ve'amulach tells you, listen to the authority who are looking at perspective of history. You understand what to establish. Who look at Chanukah not just as an event. Just by the way, was Chanukah a success or a failure? If you had to take a guess. It's great success because everybody's keeping it. But you know, everybody, even secular Israel, keep it. You know why? Because there's almost no commitment. What do? Eat donuts, latkes, get fat. Well, there's nothing much you need to do. It's a very beautiful holiday. So it's successful that we're keeping it. Did it succeed? What happened 200 years later? 200 years later. You know the names of these Hashmonaim who fought against? Mishnah and Sota. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. We're fighting. Go to Yad David, beautiful exhibition, how that war took place. Not the war was beautiful, but go see it in Migdal David in Yerushalayim. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, totally assimilated. All what the Hashmonai fought for 200 years later failed. Nevertheless, Chazal decided to turn Chanukah into a holiday. Why? Shal avicha ve'agetcha skenecha ve'amulach. Says the Chatam Sofer over here. I'll read the bulk. Ulefi aniyut da'ati. Afilu yahivna l'Ramban. Even according to the sheet of the Ramban that I mentioned before. The mitzvah she'en l'shoresh min ha'Torah lo smachu al lo tasur. That a mitzvah that doesn't have a basis in the Torah has nothing to do with lo tasur. Mikol makom. Nevertheless. Megillah v'chanukah v'halel. Megillah, Chanukah v'halel. Shosham b'kodesh min ha'Torah. Why? Says the Chatam Sofer. Kmo she'amru chazal b'megillah and eruvin. Mishiabud legeula omer shira. Mimavet lechaim lo kol sheken. Almost died. We're not going to say Shira. When we came out from Mitzrayim and we were saved, so now when we were, our life was saved. Lo kol sheken. Umechuyavim min haTorah. Listen to this Chatam Sofer. It's a Doraisa. La'asot shum zikaron lechol nes. Any miracle. Kal v'chomer diitziat Mitzrayim. Ela mesaran lechachamim. Ma itaknu? The Torah told us, as a kal v'chomer, which that you assume that kal v'chomer in this context is a Doraita, but the Torah told us that we learn from Yitzhak Mitzrayim that any miracle of life that we were saved is a Doraita that we need to celebrate. Just Chachamim, Rabbanan, they decide how to celebrate it. Mishloach Manot, lighting candles, Hallel. The debate today is who's those Chachamim and how to look at it. And that's what I'm going to solve. But one thing I know for sure, that we have a derech. We have a legitimate derech, more than a legitimate derech. To me, following in the footsteps of Rav Kook and just standing and looking, I almost can't understand the opposite derech, but okay, hopefully one day. But day in and day out, I tell many times, today you don't need almost to open the classic Musar books. Open up a newspaper in Israel. Just the front page, not about the problem, but about miracles after miracles, day after day. Look, read, learn every element, any war that took place in Israel, any operation that the Israeli army did, and I heard it from generals in speeches again and again. They always plan only 98%. Because there's always an obstacle There's always a 2% that they just don't know how to solve. And they leave it for God. They won't say they leave it for God. But that's what they do. And that's the DNA. That's how the state of Israel today is from any single war we have. And I'm going to end with an example because I have to, because I just want you to understand. I heard this 2 years ago and I told a general after I heard it that to me this was the strongest chizuk in religion. The guy flipped out because the last thing he wanted to do is to make me more from. But he was the one who led the attack on Iraq in 1981 on the nuclear. He said that the F-16s or F-15s, I don't remember which plane they used then. He says those planes, no one ever tried to put another tank of fuel on the plane. No one tested it, meaning only Michigan or Israel. You know, you could, let's shtach another. If you could take another 100 kilometers, someone's if it says that it can only go a certain way. They needed it to get to Iraq. So they did all the tests in the labs and they came to a conclusion it's not a problem. One thing they couldn't test. The location of where they put those barrels of fuel was very close to the missiles that they had to use to drop on the nuclear plant. And they had to get rid of those empty barrels before they threw those missiles. They couldn't. He said the U.S. was involved. The labs in Israel were working day and night to figure out if when those barrels fall, would the missile fall with it or not? It was too close. No, it wasn't a clear scientific answer. As he said, it was 50-50. And they decided to go with the operation. And he said that when that moment came, this was his words, we closed our eyes and pressed the button. And I told him, maybe you don't realize, but your neshama deep inside was screaming Shema Yisrael. That's the DNA of Medinat Yisrael today. And if we have those glasses, not only that we're going to celebrate, we're going to celebrate in a way that we understand that Medinat Yisrael gave us tremendous opportunity of looking in the world in eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It gave us a Kirvat Hashem. It's not a place where Torah is under stress. It's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ruling His world and showing the whole world how He does it. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be able to feel that way, impact the others, and we'll all be Zoche to the ultimate redemption, Bebinyan Yerushalayim. Have a good week.
Thank you so much.